Mr. Newman. Hello, friend. And once again, thank you for joining us that we might share together the truth of the eternal God. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're studying about spiritual warfare and the victory that every believer can have through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do not have to live under the circumstances, that we can live above the circumstances through the power of the Lord Jesus, that we can reign in life and live victorious to the glory, honor, and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember again, last time we read Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So many Christians do not realize and understand they do not have to live under the circumstances. How many times we say, well, I'm doing fairly well under the circumstances. Beloved, we shouldn't be under the circumstances. We should be above the circumstances through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me read to you again, Luke chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. The Lord Jesus was going to heal the servant of a centurion, a Roman centurion who was over 100 men. And as he drew near the house, we read these words of the centurion, Luke 7:7-8, a message that he sent to Jesus. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, my servant and my servant shall be healed. Saying a word, all you have to speak is the word, I know my servant will be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He said, I am under authority, thus I have authority. And Jesus marveled, and Jesus said he has it. He understands the principle of authority. Now remember, beloved, authority is the official legal power to act. And Jesus was amazed at this centurion, an unbeliever, that had yet he did believe that Jesus had the power to heal his servant. And that's why he said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but simply say the word, and my servant will be healed. Oh, you talk about faith. This centurion had faith to believe that Jesus was Almighty God, that he had power to do what his servant needed. He believed it. Now remember, beloved, authority is the official legal power to act. What is the source of spiritual authority? Well, this centurion said he was under authority. Beloved, to be under is to be above. When you are given authority, you're given authority when you are under authority. Now, let's think about that. We have someone to back up the authority when we're under authority. And that who we're under is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19-20. Let me read to you, beginning with verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, or all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The actual word there is authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now Jesus had all authority. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world or the age. Jesus had all authority because he was under authority. If you remember, Jesus always said, I do only those things which please the Father. He often spent time talking to the Father, and he acknowledged that the Father was his authority. And so just as this centurion was under the authority of the Roman government and had been given authority over 100 men, so Jesus Christ was under the authority of God the Father and had authority to perform many amazing miracles. Now, let me illustrate. When a policeman comes to the door and knocks on the door and says, open up the door in the name of the law of the land gives the authority to the policeman to tell you to open that door. One time I was driving along and I heard a police whistle, and I looked over to the side of the road and there was a boy playing policeman. Even though he told me to stop, I paid no attention to his demands because he didn't have any authority. However, on another occasion, I heard a police whistle and looked and saw a real policeman standing there holding his hand up. I obeyed. I stopped because he had authority. Authority, beloved, being under authority. Now, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17c, we read these words, because as he is, speaking of Christ, because as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, beloved, this is the truth of the doctrine of identification. Our learning to be identified with Christ, to understand who we are in Christ. We're identified with the death of Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That is, when Christ died, he was dying in my place. He was dying as my substitute. In Christ, I died to sin. I died in Jesus Christ. Notice again, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 through 9. Knowing this, that our old man, our old sin nature, is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, where is it that the believer's dead? It's certainly not the body. The believer's very much alive in the body. So where is the believer dead? Well, remember, God made man to be a triune being. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. So we're created to be a triune being. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 states, and may the Lord God sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, your whole being. May your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he reveals the triunity of man. And so where is it that we're dead to sin? It's certainly not in the flesh, beloved. Where are we dead to sin? It's in our spirit. Because when we accept Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves into our spirit. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, spiritual birth. And so the Holy Spirit does the work of salvation in our spirit when we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our life to forgive us for our sin. He sends his Spirit into our spirit to do the work of salvation. And thus we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We literally become a new person in our spirit. Whereas we were dead in trespasses and in sin, Ephesians 2:1 tells us, now we're alive in Christ Jesus. We've died to sin and become alive to God. And so the Holy Spirit of God has moved into our spirit to do that work of salvation and to be God's guarantee of our salvation, as we're told in Ephesians 1:13 and 14. So the Holy Spirit of God is our guarantee of salvation, and it's in our spirit that we have died to sin and come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Galatians 2:28 tells us. I am crucified with Christ. When Christ died, the believer died in Christ. We are identified in the burial of Christ. Romans 6:4a, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. When Christ was buried, I was buried in Christ. Romans 6:5b, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, buried is in the likeness of his death, planted together is in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We are identified in the resurrection of Christ. We're identified in his death. We're identified in his burial. We're identified in his resurrection, Romans 6:4b, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. Romans 6:5b, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That's why when a person's baptized, we say buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Because that's what baptism pictures. It pictures what has already taken place in the heart of the believer. Baptism doesn't save a person. Baptism is a public testimony to that person's salvation. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And so, beloved, we're identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Till next time, goodbye.